Welcome back to the Oz Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz. Today we will be concluding the 8th chapter of Maseches Sota, and we will be beginning the 9th and final chapter. So Mishnah Zayin of Paraches says, "Bamed Dvar Mamurim." When is this the case? When is what the case? We'll look in the Bart Neuro, Shechozrin Min Hamaracha, V'yeshe'en Zazin Min Mekoman. So we've been discussing the situation of people who are sent back from the front and other people who don't even go to war. So when do all of these situations of people who are exempted from battle apply? B'mechemes Harashus, in an optional war. Aval b'mechemes mitzvah hakol yotzin. But in a war that is a mitzvah, a war that we're commanded in, everyone goes out. Afilu chasen mechedro v'chala mechupasa. Even a groom from his bedchamber and a bride from her wedding canopy. Now, of course, women did not serve in the army in biblical times, so literally the bride did not go out to war, but there's an expression, and it's just quoting the whole expression. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bamed dvarim amurim." When do these rules apply? B'mechemes mitzvah. They apply in the case of a war that is a mitzvah. Abo mechemes chova hakol yotzin. But in a mandatory war, everyone goes out. Afilu chasen mechedro v'chala mechupasa. Even the groom taken from his bedchamber. Now, what's the difference between these two opinions? It's actually largely semantic. Let's take a look in the Bart Neuro. Melchemes Eretz Yisrael u'melchemes Amalek hakol modim shehi chova v'hakol yotzin ba. So wars like conquering Israel in the time of Joshua and fighting Amalek, everyone agrees that these wars are mandatory and everyone who's an able-bodied fighter has to go out. U'melchemes Beis David shehi l'ravcha v'harchiv gvul Yisrael u'lekachas mas meha'amim kagon melchemes Aram Naharayim v'Aram Tzova. And wars like David fought in order to expand the kingdom so that they'd have more land and they'd be able to collect taxes from neighboring countries. Hakol modim shehi reshus. Everyone agrees that those are optional wars. Lo nechalchu tanakama v'Rabbi Yehuda el b'melchemes shenochamim Yisrael aloyveihem kadei shelo yisgabru aleihem v'yitzru lehem. The difference between the first opinion and Rabbi Yehuda only applies when it comes to a war that Israel fights against their enemies so that they shouldn't get too strong and make trouble. Tanakama kari lo melchemes reshus. The first opinion considers this an optional war. Vesover she'ein adam reshoi v'his batel min ha-mitzvah k'dei l'hilachim b'melchama kazu. And he feels that a person is not allowed to cease performing a mitzvah to go fight in such a war. Rabbi Yehuda suffer shagam zu melchemes mitzvah. But Rabbi Yehuda feels that this is also a war that's a mitzvah. Macha shehu lehoshia es Yisrael miyad sonehem, because its intention is to save the Jews from their enemies. V'ha'osik b'mitzvah patur min ha'mitzvah. And someone who's involved in a mitzvah, this war, would be exempt from performing other mitzvahs. Vein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, but the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. We follow the Tanakama, and such a war, in order to conquer enemies who are getting too strong, is considered a reshus, and these people who we discussed would be exempt from fighting. All right, that's the end of Paraches. Let us now move directly to Perek Tes. Now, we still go back two chapters to when we were discussing what things may be said in Hebrew and what things may be said in other languages, and that all came from the text of the Sota, which had to be recited in Hebrew, and then the Mishnah told us other things that may only be recited in Hebrew language. So the last few things on that list were the declaration to the army that we just discussed in all of chapter 8, and now the last thing is the Egla Rufa, which is the topic of chapter 9. So if you were to skip to chapter 9 and say, what does Egla Rufa have to do with Sota, that's how we got here. It all comes from the Sota declaration must be said in Hebrew, and the Egla Rufa text must be said in Hebrew. So, Mishnah Aleph, Egla Rufa B'Loshon HaKodesh. The text of the Egla Rufa must be recited in Hebrew. Now, what is the Egla Rufa? The Egla Rufa was a situation where if a person was found dead in between two cities, they would perform a solemn ceremony where they would measure to the closest city, and then they would kill a calf and have a whole ceremony with hand washing and saying that it's not because of the elders of the city that they didn't take care of this person that he died, that they did everything that could have been done for passing travelers. So the text of this must be said in Hebrew, and the Bart Neuro tells us, Mash hazakenim omrim, yedenu lo shafchu es hadam hazeh, that which the elders of the city say, that they're not responsible for this traveler's death. But Kohanim Omrim Kaper La'amcha Yisrael, and that which the Kohanim respond, that God should grant atonement to his nation Israel, B'loshen HaKodesh, who's Kaku La'amron. So this must be recited in Hebrew. So how do we know this? Shenemar, because the Pasuk tells us, Ki Yimatzei Chol Ba'adama, V'yatzu Zekanecha V'shoftecha. So it says that when a corpse is found, the elders and the judges go out. Now we don't see from the excerpt of this Pasuk how we know it must be recited in Hebrew, so again we return to the Bar Noro. Uba'oso Parsha Nemar, and in that topic it also says, V'anu V'amru, they answer and they say. V'nemar Lahalan, and we say later on, V'anu Halavim V'amru. So later on, as we discussed previously in these topics of what must be recited in Hebrew, we saw the pasuk that the Levim respond and they say, Malahalan b'lashon hakodesh, afkan b'lashon hakodesh. And we've already established that this phraseology of anu v'amru, which is similar to there, whenever we have that, it means that the thing must be recited in Hebrew. So let's go back to the Mishnah. We were talking about the Zakanim and the Shoftim. Shlosha mi'beis din hagadol sheb'Yerushalayim hayu yotzin. Three members of the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim would go to the place where the ceremony was to be performed. Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, Chamisha, five members of the Sanhedrin had to go. Shenemar, because the Torah tells us, Zekenecha, your elders, Shnayim, so that's a minimum of two elders. Vishoftecha, and your judges, Shnayim, that's a minimum of two judges. So right there's four. The Ein Beis Din Shakul, and a Beis Din is never composed of an even number of members. Mosifin lehem odechad. So one more person has to be added. Let's wrap things up in the Bart Nuro. Hayu yotzin, they would go out. Ubayim sham umodidin min hachalal tzad harayos shesivivosav leda eza krova. And they would measure from the site where the person was found dead to the cities that are nearby in order to determine which is the closest. Ein beis din shakul, a beis din cannot be composed of an even number of people. Ein beis din asuyin shehei efshar lechalok shava b'shava. We do that so that there can't be a split decision. Rather, there must be an odd number so that there's always going to be a majority, because the rule is, when it comes to making decisions in Beis Din, majority rules. All right, that is the end of Mishnah Aleph. Join us tomorrow, and we will continue this chapter with Mishnayos Beis and Gimel.